Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. I'm Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
I'm Jess, a mom of two, former college soccer player, elementary PE teacher, and fitness enthusiast. I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer just before my 40th birthday.
And I'm Jamie, researcher, retired professional boxer, and breast cancer survivor who keeps life busy and joyful with a funny farm of animals, a loving family, and a big heart to serve others.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Hey ladies, how you doing?
Hey!
Oh man, starting with a bang. So we are excited about this episode because you are the new besties. You guys may recognize Jess and Jamie from previous episodes. Both have co-hosted and been on the podcast as guests as well. So they are our new besties and they're going to be joining me this whole season. And we're going to be talking about all things life, laughter, survivorship, what's ahead for the show. And so today we're just going to kind of get to let everybody else get to know you all. So today we're going to learn about what inspired Jamie and Jess to get involved with Faith Through Fire. And we're going to have a little bit of fun so you can get to know them and land on what you guys are excited about with this relationship series, if that sounds good.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, before we jump into kind of how we met and what inspired you to get involved with Faith Through Fire, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire's Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your new normal. You want to enjoy life again, but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. You feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving: understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate by visiting faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp.
All right. We were kind of talking about this before, about how we all met each other. So Jess, why don't you remind me how we, because I've got a baby brain and I don't remember how I meet people. It's terrible.
Yep. So it was, you know, back a few years ago at the Survivor Retreat, I went, and honestly, the only person I had ever met was Sarah, and I had only met her one time before I went to that very first retreat. So I just remember walking down the steps and I was like, oh, there's Beth. Because to me, you were like the podcast Beth. And I was like in awe because I had listened to the podcast so much going through treatment. And we even talked about that. You were like, oh, you're like, I think it's always so funny when people are like, oh, the podcast.
Yeah, it's like a, you thought I was famous, and I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not even remotely famous. It's not even a little bit of fame there, but I thought that was so funny because you were a super fan. And just so you guys know, if you're listening, if you're a super fan, you clearly get promoted to become a co-host at some So just hang in there, you know? You never know what could happen.
Yeah. Never know.
Yeah. So, okay. So we met at the retreat and then we kind of just started hanging out, and that's kind of how we blossomed. What about us, Jamie?
Wait a minute. So like it blossomed to like a friendship?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like ours took a little different path.
Oh, I don't remember because I have no long nor short term memory. So it's really, you could tell me a million different things and I'd have to believe you. No, but Jess and I mean, I feel like over time we've just hung out more and more and more.
Yep, she's pretty likable.
Yeah. You're very likable. You're you're a very positive person, which I think is why I'm drawn to you, because you're very positive and you're forward facing. And I think that that's, you know, I'm always attracted to people like that. So.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Try to be.
Yeah. All right, Jamie, you kind of alluded to the fact that we have a more like dramatic relationship history.
No, okay. It started off professional and now you're absolutely one of my dearest friends, but I know exactly where I was. I was on a walk because my podcast time listening to Besties with Breasties was walking, because that's how I process through movement. And I was actually listening to one when you called, just as a very studious and thoughtful executive director of a nonprofit. You were calling just to see how things were going for me. You didn't know me from Adam. And it turned into an almost hour conversation. That was the genesis of our relationship that blossomed into gaps in treatment and how can we dream differently and friendship along the way, quite honestly. And so, I mean, we've had a lot of interactions over, I mean, I've only been at this since 22, but I feel like our relationship surpasses that for sure.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I don't even remember that.
It was that impactful, huh?
You know what, guys? I've decided it used to scare me that I have no memory. I'm sure it's some sort of disorder. I think they call it ADD, but I have like no memory. And it used to freak me out. And now I just think of it as an immense gift.
Yeah.
Because I never feel sad about anything for long. Like, if I have a bad day, if somebody upsets me, if I get into it, like, it doesn't matter, because in a week's time, I won't even remember that it happened.
So, like a goldfish.
Yeah. I am a goldfish. It is, you know what? I'm going to wear it proud. It's okay. And maybe if you're listening out there and you feel like you also have a goldfish brain, maybe you could reach out and make me feel less alone. I don't know. That's too funny. Well, either way, I think when we were looking at, you know, starting off this year on the relationship series, I was like, there's no two better people that I want to do this with than you two, in terms of just our different dynamics. And I want to actually kind of lead into that, because I have gotten very creative and I created a quiz called What Kind of Bestie Are You? And we're going to figure out exactly, you know, if we're all the same or if we're all different. I'm kind of excited to dig into it. But before we do that, because you guys had homework, like we all filled out the quiz in advance, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So before we jump into that, you guys want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it. Yes, for sure.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News, Boobs in the News, Boobs in the News.
Okay, are you guys ready for this one? This says, Oregon beachgoer comes to the rescue of a beached shark. Now, my first question when I read this is to myself was, if I came across a beached shark, would I attempt to help it? Would you guys attempt to help the shark?
Yes.
No.
Okay. I can already tell our besties quiz is going to be radically different.
It should have been on the quiz.
I think I would stand there and just like think about it for so long that the shark would die, because I was trying to decide whether or not to intervene. So an Oregon woman was taking a sunset stroll on the beach with her dogs, and she ended up grabbing a stranded shark by the tail and returning it to the ocean. So she saw something in the sand. She thought it was driftwood. Then she noticed it was moving. And so basically she had said that she had watched enough Shark Week to know that if you grab it by the tail, it can't whip around and bite you. I don't know that we know that for certain. Like, do we know anatomically if all sharks are not able? Is it like a snake where if you grab it behind the head, it can't get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how do we know with certainty? That takes a fair amount of confidence, I feel like.
That does. I definitely would say, that's why I said no so quickly, because I wouldn't want one of my limbs to be,
yeah,
you know, taken from me.
I mean, I love animals, but
yeah,
I don't know if I'm going to risk an arm.
The only thing I was just thinking is, if I was standing there, I feel like I would try to help it, but from a distance. So like...
Like you'd maybe poke get it with like a stick?
Yes. Like I would like go try to find like a piece of driftwood or, you know, something to like prod it back into the ocean.
Jamie, you're being quiet. Would you just go up and just drag that beast right into the
water? Well, I'm very action oriented for sure. I was just reminiscing about a snapping turtle the size of a sewer lid that I got into a Tupperware bin and got back to the water in our neighborhood. So I think that's pretty similar to losing a limb. So I guess I would just go for it.
Oh my gosh. Jamie's risking fingers to save the snapping turtle. Nope. Yeah. I remember one time my kids, we were all on our boat on the lake and there was a mouse in the boat. So, you know, it must have gotten in and before we took off, and then it was unfortunately on the water. And, you know, I was just going to throw them overboard and let them drown. But the kids were like, you know, really upset about it. So they got a Pringles can and emptied it out and basically put this mouse in the Pringles can and then swam it to shore.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I know. I was like, and you know, I look back on that and I'm like, we didn't pull up anchor and try to get them closer. No, we made them like go a football length with this mouse in a can.
And a Pringles can.
Just to save. Yeah.
How did they get the mouse in the can?
Oh, well, that was a party trick. I mean, that there was a lot of screaming and squealing and chasing, and eventually we cornered it and got it in there, you know. But yeah, that's, you don't want to be the one that like smushes the mouse in front of the kids, though. The children.
No, no.
That trauma. So wait, who's the boob in the news in this story,
well,
Beth?
Okay. There's really no boob because everybody was okay. She basically got it out into the water. And when she first put it out there, it wasn't deep enough and he was still kind of stuck. So then she had to fling him out even further. But she went ahead and she saved this shark. Wait,
how big was the shark?
So now I'm picturing a woman. So that's the thing, right? At first, when I read this, I was like, this is going to be a tiny little shark, like a little hammerhead shark or something very non-threatening. Oh, no, they're smaller, but they look like great whites.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they look like great whites. I'm not going to call this lady a boob because it all worked out.
Yeah.
But if I see something like that looks like a great white on the shore, I'm calling like animal control. I'm not trying to attempt this myself.
Yeah, that's what I think I would do. I would definitely seek help.
Yeah. I'm sure that there's, you know, ocean people on call
ocean
for
people
on call for
ocean
something.
People. Yeah, definitely. I think that I would have like stood there. I would have tried to help like from afar, and then I would have phoned a friend to help.
Right. That is to me the safest way to do it. So then once I read this story, I was like, oh, because they identified that this was probably a juvenile salmon shark. And so that's what led me to Google it. And that's what led me to realize that they look like great whites. And there are almost no confirmed attacks on humans. So I guess they're fairly friendly. This is kind of gross. The embryos, these little guys, consume unfertilized eggs from the mother in the womb.
Ew.
Yeah. So they definitely have like a hunter mentality from in vitro.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know that there's a boob in that story other than I think maybe the lady for attempting it, because it could have gone the other way.
Yeah.
There's your boob.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
All right, ladies. What kind of breasty are you? Were you surprised by the answers? Like, were you surprised to find out what kind of bestie you were?
I wanted to, like, put commas and add context.
Of course you did.
Because depending on the day, I could be any one of those. I was trying to stay with like my consistent answer. But
okay. Jess, what about you? Were you surprised what kind of bestie you were?
I was. I mean, honestly, sometimes I was like, oh, there's like two answers. And then like a couple of them, I was like before breast cancer and after breast cancer, like which one I would have been or which one I am becoming
100%.
Now.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even look at it from that point of view. I did it as Beth now post-cancer. Yeah. I didn't do it as Beth pre-cancer.
Yep.
That could be a whole nother episode.
That could.
All right. So what do you guys think? Should we go question by question or do you want to just talk about which one we ended up being?
I feel like maybe, I mean, there's only 7 questions.
All right, let's do it.
So maybe
Yeah, because you know what? If you're listening and you're not driving, maybe you get a piece of paper and find out what kind of bestie you are, too. All right. So number one was, when a friend calls you crying, A, you drop everything to comfort her. You're crying, too, by the end. I feel like that's you all the way, Jamie.
Interesting. Not what I put.
It's not what you put. Oh my God. Every time I talk to you, you're like, this is
Stop
what happened.
It.
Yes. Every time I talk to you, you're like, this is what happened to my friend. I'm absolutely in tears. It's just my heart breaks for them. You know, will you pray for them? I'm like, you are like a complete empath. So that's okay. So Jamie didn't pick A. B, you listen and help her make a plan to fix it. I feel like that was you, Jess. What did you pick?
Okay, well, I felt like B and D were kind of the same.
Okay.
You tell her,
okay, that sucks. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah. So I actually circled D, but I felt like B and D were like the same.
Yeah. Kind of. B's like the nicer version.
Yeah.
D's like, quit being a baby. We're going to fix this together. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. And then C, which is what I put for myself, is you care, but you remind her to take care of herself.
Yeah. I feel like that's, I would have guessed that for you.
You would have?
Yeah.
Okay. Two, your group is trying to decide where to eat. You're the one who A, just wants everyone to be happy. I'm good with whatever. B, weighs the options and makes a practical choice. C, asks, okay, but who actually made a reservation? Or D, takes charge. We're going to Mexican. End of story. You got
it. I was A, as long as it's not shellfish.
Okay. All right. I'm good with whatever. That makes sense. That's what I would have guessed for you, Jamie.
What about you, Jeff? I was A all the way. I just want everybody to be happy. I don't care. I'm good with whatever.
Okay. Anybody want to guess what I put?
Takes charge. We're going to Mexican. Yeah. End of story.
That would have been pre-cancer buff. Now it's okay, but who made the reservation? Do we have a reservation? Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
All right. Three, someone criticizes something you did. You A, feel it deeply and replay it in your head all week. Jamie.
I feel exposed right now.
B, consider whether it's true, then move on. C, set an internal boundary. That's their opinion, not my truth. Or D, ask them to clarify and maybe push back a little.
I felt like I was A again all the way.
Really? You feel it deeply and you'll replay it in your head all week, Jess? That surprises me.
Yep. Yep, for sure.
Jamie, is that you as well?
Yeah, post-cancer, can you tell me a little bit more about that and maybe push back? But A is really who I am, but I'm trying.
It's not a bad thing. Well, it is when you ruminate. So maybe,
right.
Well, I am B. Consider whether it's true, then move on.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not staying here real long. I won't remember anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I'll consider it. There's been plenty of times where I'm like, is that true? And then I might be like, yep, that's true. And then I usually apologize, or I'm like, no, that's not true. And then I just move on. Okay. Your ideal Saturday is A, journaling, connecting with a friend or recharging emotionally. B, cleaning, meal prepping, or organizing your week. C, doing something peaceful and solo. No drama, no noise. D, knocking out a to-do list or planning your next big thing. What do you think?
Beth, what were you?
Cleaning, meal prepping, and organizing my week.
Yeah.
I just don't feel good if I start my week in chaos. But I don't like that I spend my weekends that way. I wish I had more like of that during the week, to where the weekends don't become the only time I can do that. What about you guys?
I was D, knocking out a to-do list or planning the next big thing.
Okay. Yeah, I see that with you.
Yeah. I do think, though, that I am leaning more into like the peaceful and like being more aware of connecting with friends or recharging. So I think that like that's the D in me is like the go, go, go. But I'm really trying to be more aware of not go, go, going all the time and like slowing down, connecting, becoming organized.
Before I ask this follow-up question, Jess, which one did you pick, Jamie?
I had B/D, which they're kind of the same to me, but I added including a great workout. So, but I'm all about like getting ahead of the next week.
So here was my follow-up question to that is, where do our husbands fit on that spectrum? Because my husband, the last thing he wants to do on his weekends is like to-do lists.
Oh,
interesting.
He hates a honey-do list. I have had to do it anyway because otherwise he won't prioritize stuff, but he would be the guy that would want to have a chill weekend.
Oh, mine's making the to-do list.
Yours is?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's a go-go. I feel like Tom is too, Jess. Is that not true?
No, that is not true.
Okay.
I always make the list and then I go, go, go until the list is done. I will say that the last couple months, I've been trying to make the list with the kids and Tom, like we're all in the same room and then everybody just kind of divvies up what we're doing. And that actually works really well with just then I'm not doing the whole list myself. Like when I'm thinking of like cleaning and organizing or grocery shopping or, you know, all of those things. So yeah, he's more of a calm, peaceful, no drama.
Doesn't need to get done right away.
Doesn't need to get, yeah, not worried about the week.
Yeah.
I mean, but then is, but not like over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. We call it, oh, go ahead.
No. You.
We call it blessings hour. If everyone blesses each other in an hour, we'll be done and we can move on. So we divide and conquer too, Jess. And then I'm like almost the other extreme where I just shut it down and I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
It does feel like one extreme or the other. Either I want to sit on the couch and watch movies all day, or I want to get everything on the planet done. There is no in between, which is weird. I don't understand why I can't find that middle road.
Well, maybe put the movies on the to-do list. Like I've like starting to put like some of those, a workout or yoga or going for a walk on the to-do list. And then I feel good when I get it done, but yet I'm still relaxing.
Do you know what's like really helped me with getting the kids involved too? Is like they also hate it when I hand them a list and say, here are your chores for the day. So what I do is all the chores that need to get done that day, I write each individual one on a piece of scrap paper and fold it up and put it in a like jar. And then they each pick three and it's random. So then sometimes like they'll get easy chores. Sometimes they'll get a one hard chore and two easy, you know, but they feel like it's more fair and I don't get as many complaints because it's just this random assignment. Because
I like that.
Yeah, like when I assign them, if I'm like, hey, Ben, I need you to do the toilets in the bathroom and Emily, can you clean out the microwave? He's like, are you serious? The toilets are so much worse than the microwave, you know? So this way, everybody has their chores and they know I'm not like trying to favor one over the other.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it helps. All right, number five, your friends would describe you as A, deeply caring, she feels everything, B, dependable and steady, she's our rock, C, calm and balanced, she knows how to say no, D, bold and direct, she tells it like it is. I know what you're going to say.
Beth, you're D.
Correct.
I'm A. Jess, I can see you as A or B.
Oh, that's interesting because I circled them both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see that. Yep. You feel like a very stable person.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know that I've always been that way, but I think I definitely am improving.
Well, there's your encouragement, people. You don't always have to be stable.
That's right.
You can be unstable and then find your footing. All right. Number six, in a group project, you're most likely to A, make sure everyone feels heard and supported, B, keep everyone organized and on schedule, C, set boundaries when the group starts to overcommit, D, take charge and make decisions.
What do you guys think?
I think you're A, Jamie, just because I've seen you facilitate the boot camps. And if somebody is not speaking up because they're more of an introvert, you're very good about making sure that they have an opportunity to express themselves.
Okay, but this says group project, and that's where I draw the line. I'm B all the way on group projects.
Oh, so like less about like relational and more about getting it done.
If we're in a group project, like I'm going to keep everyone on point. If it's a facilitation around whatever, absolutely, I'm A.
Okay, got it. That makes sense. What about you, Jess?
So I put on the side, it depends on the people that are around me and like what their strengths are. I think like if it's a group project and I feel like I am like the expert, then I am deep. Take charge, make decisions, divvy it up. But if it's something I'm not the expert on, then I'm going to be the B. I'm going to keep everybody organized and on schedule.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. I put that I'm C. I like a good boundary.
Yep.
I like a good boundary, but I am content to let somebody else organize and schedule and then just tell me where to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Number seven. This is the last one. Your life motto is closest to A, feel it all, B, stay steady, C, protect your peace, or D, go big or go home. I'm protect your peace at all costs. I am C.
Yep. I picked two, stay steady, B, and protect your peace. But I did write that I used to be go big or go home. But I'm trying to incorporate more balance and peace and calm in my life now.
I feel like go big or go home got us in this boat.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
Yeah, I put yes, I've been all of these in different seasons of life. And C is what I'm really trying to anchor in.
All right. So what were your results? Because were you mostly A's, mostly B's, mostly C's, or mostly D's?
Jess, you go.
I was a tie between the A and the D, so the empath and the challenger.
Okay.
Interesting.
So empath, what were you, Jamie?
I was completely split between empath and anchor.
Okay. Okay, so mostly A's means you're an empath. You're the heart of the group, intuitive, nurturing, and emotionally connected. B's is the anchor, grounded and steady. You bring calm when things get chaotic. And C's, which is what I was, the boundary keeper. You protect your peace and encourage others to do the same. And mostly D's is the challenger. You're bold, confident, and push others to show up as their best selves. Who is a challenger?
I was tied.
You're good at that, Jess, at pushing people to be their best selves. The empath and the challenger. That was you, yeah. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I think we're well suited, ladies. We all kind of bring a little something different to the table. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. Well, good. Okay. So I want to know, what excites you most about this upcoming series on relationships? Is there any episode in particular you're excited to explore or topic? What are your thoughts?
I am really excited about episode 2, which is learning to love yourself again, because I have been working on that. So I feel good about that.
Did you love yourself before cancer and then now you feel like it's a struggle?
No, I loved myself before cancer, but I feel like going through cancer and coming through it and out the other side. And then I think that it's been like harder to be more accepting of where I am now versus where I was before cancer. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think that you have to learn to love yourself again after you heal and get through everything.
I feel like that's the title of one of our episodes, is like reintroducing yourself to yourself. I don't know. I think I had a catchier title than that. Reimagining yourself, right? Or reintroducing yourself to, I don't know. But I get what you're saying. What about you, Jamie?
I just think the breadth and depth of all of these topics, there's humor, there's bravery. Like, I just think they're all going to be really cool and timely. And I think there's ones that I totally resonate with and some that I can't wait to hear others' perspective on this. So I'm just excited about the whole thing, quite honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I'm kind of excited to talk to people whose experience is different than mine. Like, we're going to talk to women about dating post-cancer, and I think that's going to be super interesting because they have to deal with all the same stuff, right? Acceptance and the new you and kind of rediscovering who you are. And then they have to freaking project that to a new person. And I think that is just going to be really fascinating to find out what it feels like to date post-cancer. So I'm kind of excited to talk to those folks. I'm also really excited about what I call miserable man syndrome, because I am convinced that men go through like a legit midlife crisis and they struggle just as much as we do. It just looks completely different. So I'm kind of excited about exploring that as well. So we've got a lot of interesting topics coming our way, I think.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool, not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
All right, final words, ladies. I'm excited to have you on board. I think it's going to be a super fun year. What do you think? How do you want listeners to feel after kind of listening to us this year? Anything on your mind?
I hope that others get out of the podcast what I got out of the podcast when I was listening to the podcast going through treatment. I always felt very hopeful, and I found myself smiling and laughing as you and Sarah would like kind of banter back and forth. And I remember on the weeks of treatment, or just when I wasn't feeling very good, those were the weeks that I would like kind of binge listen to the podcast, because it gave me so much hope to listen to other people that have been through breast cancer and they understood what I was going through. And so I hope that that's how others feel listening to this next season.
Amazing.
Well, listening to Jess, like, I do feel kind of to come full circle, like we're standing on the shoulders of giants. Like, you and Sarah set such a strong foundation with a very clear lane to serve newly diagnosed
members. And so, like, I'm excited about this new chapter and what life after can look like for all of us. And I think the one thing that we do really well at Faith Through Fire is community, and there's a spot for everyone. And I think this series is really going to hit that. So I hope people feel seen, connected. They laugh with us, maybe cry with me, you know, but like, I think it's going to be really, really relevant and timely.
Wow. That sounds awesome. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you. Until next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org.